Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
More than 10 million people in the United States have tested positive for COVID-19, and as that number soars, so does demand for testing. But what kind of tests are available, and how reliable are they? We're joined now by Dr. Daniel Rhodes. He's the section head of microbiology at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. He's on Skype. Dr. Rhodes, welcome, and thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Peter. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so there are three types of tests, and let's start by briefly ticking through each one of them. How about the molecular test, or it's otherwise known as the PCR test?
Sure, yeah. So the molecular test looks for the viral RNA. So the coronavirus has RNA as its genome instead of DNA, and so we use different molecular tests to try to detect if that's in somebody's specimen. So PCR is the most common molecular test, and it's generally considered the gold standard because it's the most sensitive.
And is this the one that is most likely to be the nasal swab inside the nose?
Yep. This is a nasal swab. You know, early on in March, they were doing throat swabs, but now pretty much everybody's doing a nasal swab.
And you say it's the gold standard. How accurate is it?
So when it's positive, you know, it's very accurate. You know, there's still a subset of patients who have disease and are going to test negative. We've realized that's the case. You know, if there's viral RNA in the sample, it's going to pick it up.
All right. So then there's the antigen test, otherwise known as the rapid test. What about that one?
So the antigen tests are different in a few ways. You still need a swab, but you can't get a swab just at the front of the nose. You need to get as much virus as you can on that swab. So they go all the way to the back of the nose. That's the nasopharyngeal swab. And also, oftentimes, the specimen's completely used up in the test. You know, it's kind of once and done. But it's very quick, you know, which is why people like it.
So here's what I don't understand. You know, your hospital, you're doing 1,000 tests a day, right? How do you decide which patient should get an antigen test or a molecular test? And me as a patient, if I were to get one of those tests, like, how would I know which one I'm getting? And does it matter?
So at the Cleveland Clinic, we're not currently using antigen testing. We've put our effort into ramping up the PCR platforms. But it's always good to start with the goal. You know, is the goal to be quick? Or is the goal to be as sensitive as possible? Or is the goal to be as cheap as possible? So if you want to be as sensitive as possible, then you want to do a PCR test. If you have somebody with symptoms and you're pretty sure they have COVID and you want a really quick result, then an antigen test is a reasonable approach.
I see. And tell me about these spit tests. Where do they fit in to all this?
Sure. So all the spit tests currently are PCR tests.
The gold standard.
Yeah. So it's another way to try to get the virus into the tube. So this whole spit test came about because early on, and still we're having supply chain issues, but early on the problem was getting enough swabs to even collect specimens. So people, you know, started 3D printing swabs or saying maybe we don't need a swab at all. Maybe if somebody just spits in the tube, we'll be able to detect the virus. And again, it depends on the goals. It depends on the constraints of the lab. So, you know, everything has a place. It's just, you know, where does it fit?
Okay, and some people might be thinking, if I get a spit test, well, maybe that's not quite as accurate as getting the swab up the nose, but it sounds like you're saying that the spit test is a molecular test, which is the gold standard, which is pretty reliable.
So it's nothing's easy these days. So it depends. It also depends how the specimen's collected. So, you know, one of my colleagues did a study and, you know, they did enhanced saliva. So, you know, they kind of snort, and then you cough, and then you spit it out into the tube. But there is the potential that saliva testing could be as good as a nasal swab if it's collected the right way and tested the right way.
Well, I don't want to forget about the third type of test. Of course, that is the antibody test, which tells you if you've been infected at some point along the way with the coronavirus. Tell me about those and why that's important. If in many or all cases, you're no longer showing symptoms of the disease.
Yeah, so we're also asking ourselves that, you know, when do we use an antibody test? How is that helpful clinically? So one measure they can look at is antibody response. So it's helpful for vaccine studies. It's also helpful for prevalence studies to see how many people may have gotten sick and never gotten a test in the first place. So for epidemiological purposes or surveillance purposes, it can provide interesting information about the public.
Hmm. And tell me if I'm wrong, but that's a blood test, right?
Yep, that's a blood test. Although, you know, people are looking at, you know, can you detect antibodies in saliva? I mean, people are always looking for a new way, a better way to do testing.
Well, early in the pandemic, we were concerned because there weren't enough tests, and the results that we did have were taking a really long time to process. Now, you know, speaking from personal experience, my family just got a test result this weekend in a little more than a day. As a country, how are we doing right now in terms of testing? Are we where we need to be?
That's a good question. You have lots of good questions. So we're definitely better off than we were in March or April or May, but it's not at all smooth yet. You know, every day I'm personally dealing with, you know, crises in the laboratory. Do we have enough pipette tips? Did that shipment come in so that we can keep testing on that test system? So we're in a much better place than we were, but I don't think anybody would say we're where we need to be yet.
Dr. Daniel Rhodes, section head of microbiology at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. Doctor, I was hoping to have really easy answers here.
Unfortunately, nothing is easy these days.
It's true, but you know what? That was very helpful and clarifying. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.